The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back. Yeah, I mean, wearing a buff, you know, we talk about some people wearing buffs and stuff while we're off the air. There's something about that buff and trying to breathe. I know you can breathe through them okay, but there's just something about breathing in it to me. I can't stand it.
If you got a beard, it grabs, your hairs and just snatches them out. I mean,
If you pull it out, pull it down, you mean?
Mine sticks through it.
Yeah, but I mean, if you leave it on, does it?
Need to grow it out.
Arm or anything?
You can't. It's so tight on me anyway, so I got such a fat head. But I'm always trying to move it around because it's always pulling on it.
Mine are from that same company that makes that clown, that scary Joker thing. We were talking about. And I grew my beard out, so if it's longer, it won't do that. It's just you keep yours cut real short like Vic, and it's probably going to stick through there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mine does. I mean, I realize that, but I've just got, I don't wear them anymore. And you know, I put on a ton of sunblock and, try to protect myself that way. I put it on even before I leave the house in the mornings. But, try to protect myself that way because there's something about breathing in that. And that buff that I just can't do. I mean, I can do it for an hour or two, but especially if the gnats are bad. But, you know, as far as like wearing one for very long, I'd say an hour or two, probably about an hour.
Stuck in that stuff on your face. It's that thick.
The sunblock?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I put it on super thick.
Yeah, if you was ever fall in, we'd have an oil slick out
there. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I mean, some people like in the summertime go, man, are you sweating that bad this morning already? And I'm like, no, that's sunblock. But, those gnats do stick in there. They'll be stuck in there when I get home. I mean, they're stuck in that sunblock. Yeah, it looks like somebody threw pepper on my face.
Remember when they used to talk about Tammy Faye Baker, about putting her makeup on with a spatula?
Yeah. Yeah, that's about what I do with the sunblock. But, you know, when you get older, I mean, you know, get cut on all the time. I went in, you know, just probably 2 weeks ago and had some more things, you know, frozen off of me. And, you know, you always want to stay on top of it. If you're if you're out in the outdoors all the time, whether you're camping, fishing, boating, you know, whatever, hiking, whatever, you want to stay out of that, you know. And that's why, you know, y'all were joking the other day, texting me, said, I bet you don't even own a pair of shorts.
About the shorts thing,
I do. And I used to wear shorts on the boat, but see, now I'm paying for it. And so I don't want, you know, to pay for something now 10 years from now. I hope I'm around 10 years from now. But
you see what I'm in.
But I can't. I just can't do that. I my legs are not white. They are bright, you know. So they haven't seen the sun in probably, 15 years.
And there are no light switches.
Now the cat's out of the bag. You don't want that bright light scaring the fish away.
Yeah, that's it. Because they were, I mean, even around the yard, working around the yard, it's like, why don't you wear some shorts? I'm, you know, in the summertime, I'm like, no. For one thing, you know, if I'm working, I don't like to bend over a lot because, you know, getting old, your back hurts. So, you know, I get down on my knees or whatever and working in flower beds and things like that or whatever, you know. So I don't want them brown recluse getting on me. You know, each Florida yard, I mean, a brown recluse is like 10 times worse if you ever got bit by one. It's like 10 times worse than a black widow. People just don't realize that.
That's what I've
been bit. I've been bit twice by brown recluse. And first time I almost lost my thumb. Had a friend of mine that had his thumb. He picked up some sticks and they did. They wound up amputating his thumb from a brown recluse spider bite. And, they say that in a normal subdivision yard, you have about 200 in every yard here in Florida. They don't normally bite you because you don't usually pick them up, you know. Mm-hmm. But if you like grab a stick off the ground or whatever and they're underneath it, they'll bite you, you know, if you get your thumb on them or get your finger on them. And I had a friend of mine's dad actually was working in the yard and was kneeling at a flower bed, and one of them bit him on the calf, and they wound up taking about 2.5 inches diameter circle and about 3/4 of an inch deep meat out of his calf. Because what they do, the brown recluse, when they bite you, it starts killing the cells around that bite.
Yeah.
It's a little tiny black spot. It looks like a splinter or something. And then, you know, in like 2 days, it's killed a bunch of cells. And that's how I almost lost my my left thumb.
Eat your skin away.
It was bad, let me tell you. Really bad.
Speaking about working in the garden, Yvonne was out there working in the garden the other day. It's good to see her up and about.
Yep. Yeah, that was good. She's keeps her active good, you know. And that's why we have that little raised garden right there in front of the house. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, planting some plants out front and stuff like that. So
yeah, it's good to be outside.
Yeah, and I enjoy it. I don't really enjoy like getting down and having to like work 10 hours out there. I like to go out and just like, you know, trim trees and stuff like that here and there, and just kind of, you know, what I call piddle in the yard, just kind of mess around, and if I see something, then do it, you know. But these big projects where it's like, okay, that'll take us about an hour. Usually it takes about 10 hours.
How did JB Weld work on that?
It might be okay.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
finally hardened,
you know,
up.
Yeah, hardened up, and then I didn't pull it out and put another coat on. We've been busy and going off and stuff, but you know, I need to pull it out and put another coat on and see if that's gonna, you know, help it.
Yeah,
and so I want to gob it on my transducer.
Wouldn't you have to kind of sand it a little bit, just a little bit, to get it the
probably
next coat to?
Yeah, probably.
Adhere to it, yeah.
That's going
to
be tough right there with that bunk right there, you know, trying to sand it and all that. But I'm going to do what I can do.
Gob it in there.
Yeah,
now,
huh? Yeah, I'm going to make it look like a monstrosity back there. But, I mean, see if it'll hold it on there for time being, you know. Because running new wires, you know, and running a wire is not a problem in these boats when you can, you know, tie one on or tape one on and pull it back through with the other one. The problem with it is with transducers, you got a plug on one end and the transducer on the other, and there's no way to take that off. So, you know, you have to get that plug all the way through. And that's the problem in trying to, you know, pull a wire like that.
You'd think they would have put a pigtail that's just long enough to keep it high and dry, keep it up in the boat, and interconnecting plug.
Well, you could do it. You could do it like 6 inches off of the depth finder. And you could put like a straight plug, you know what I mean? Just a straight plug where, you know, even if it's a 7 or 9 pin, I don't even know how many pins mine are, but for that particular depth finder I have, there's a 7 pin and a 9 pin wire that goes up there to the back of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it looks like they could make a round connector, you know, right there, 6 inches or so from. You know, of course, it is salt air. Another connector is going to have another.
Well, it can't get wet.
Right. But if you have it right there by your depth finder, not the transducer, but have it up there like in your console.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could put a heat shrink sleeve over it, you know, and that would be great because then you don't have to try to pull that big plug all the way through there, you know.
Yeah. Hey, Ted, I'm thinking since that's a transmission line, that impedance and connectorization would be pretty important there with that depth finder lead. A lot of these transmission lines, they're very, 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 very crucial at having the appropriate connectivity there because
it's low voltage data, you know.
Well, when Ted came over the other day, I was trying to get that thing lined up and glue it on. It says it sits in 15 minutes. Well, 17 minutes later, Ted was timing me. I'm sitting there holding this thing still.
Holding it,
you know,
the whole time.
And holding it, holding it. I start to let go, and it starts, you know, letting go again. I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
Is that a two-part?
That was the JB Weld.
Okay.
How'd that bat work?
The plastic one. It worked good. I left it on there for a while. We'll be right back.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
Do you like offshore fishing? Team Buck Rogers Charters has been offering offshore charters in the Jacksonville-Mayport area since 2006. We offer any increment you like from 4 hours up to 12 hours, and we can carry up to 6 people per boat. Large groups, celebrations, corporate events. Does your Sunday school class want to spend a day on the water? No problem. We have 3 boats that can each carry up to 6 people, so groups of up to 18 are welcome. If you have more than 18 people, we can still accommodate you by reaching out to some other great captains who we consider very close friends. If you're thinking offshore, think Team Buck Rogers. Call me, Captain Chad, at 904-502-7408 or book online at teambuckrogers.com. Also, please follow us on Facebook and YouTube at /Team Buck Rogers.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mendrin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and blackened mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
Beautiful weather last week. My goodness.
Yeah, it was.
You know, you can't beat that for February. You know, having the first week of February and just gorgeous days. I think it was 3 days. We had, like, no wind. It was just gorgeous. You know, now we're getting back up a little bit this weekend from that cold front we had. It's, you know, only going to be high in the 60s. But then I think tomorrow it's, like, closer to 70, something like 66, 68. But then we're looking at 70s and even 80 this week. And so nice warm weather. I was kind of giving Terry a little fit the other day, you know, a friend of ours, Terry, because she's leaving to go back to Tennessee on the 18th. You know, she lives up in Tennessee.
Well, it's cold up there.
And she was showing me a picture yesterday her neighbor sent, showing her yard. It's covered in snow. I said, yeah, you can go back out there and do that. I don't want to do that, you know. I don't like that snow.
It was one degree in Kansas City.
Wow.
Yesterday, we were with the first graders on Fridays. I help the first grade class with their spelling and reading, and we were studying one of their words that they were learning about making sentences with was about polar bears. So we started looking up all these facts on polar bears and looking at the different zoos around the country. KC has a zoo there, and they were showing the temperature at the polar bear exhibit there being 1 degree. And I know they've been talking about it's been double digits there, you know, like 16. They were talking about the other day when the Chiefs were celebrating, it was only like 16 degrees, and they still had all these people come out. I was like, yeah, ever since they played that one playoff game there, it seems like Kansas City must be in a depression or like a low spot or something, because man, they've been talking about cold temperatures there.
They can keep that up there.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I'm with you.
When you sent me the picture yesterday showing me you was in the first grade class, I didn't know if they were teaching you or you were teaching them. So
little of both. Yeah. Little of both, because little ones, man, you always never a dull moment, always learn something with little ones.
That's a good thing that you go there and do that.
Kids are precious. I love doing that.
Do you always do the same class, or do you?
I do. Yeah, I've been doing it for probably about 3 or 4 months now.
Mm-hmm.
But getting back to did you see my the palm tree saw its shadow picture? That's kind of a
I didn't even
keep
hear
your cold weather up that away.
I didn't even hear what Punxsutawney Phil, is that what you call him? Punxsutawney, is that how you say it?
Punxsutawney Phil,
I don't know
the groundhog.
What happened? You know, whether he saw a shadow or not,
they say he didn't see a shadow.
He didn't see a shadow?
Yes, so I think that means longer, some more cold weather.
Oh, I thought it was the opposite. I thought if he didn't see a shadow, he'd stay out. That means, you know, summer's coming.
I don't know.
I don't either. I didn't look
at it. Either way, the chatter about the Groundhog Day. Yeah. Got into the history of how we came up with that expression, it's Groundhog Day, about the Bill Murray movie.
Yeah, I
had never seen it.
Oh, yeah.
So I finally figured out, Groundhog Day, where's this going and how they come up? Yeah, and they told all about it, and they showed a little video clip of it. So
so you hadn't seen it yet either?
No, I couldn't figure out how Bill Murray movie got mixed up with Groundhog Day.
It's pretty good. You need to watch that. That's the best funny movie. But, of course, everything Bill Murray was in, you know, used to be funny.
But
Ghostbusters.
But, you know, I've known we've had some years where people really was kind of, you know, looking for Punxsutawney Phil with the shotguns because, they didn't like. They didn't like what he was saying about wintertime and stuff, you know. I know it was a couple of years ago when they were supposed to be in early spring, and we had, like something like 8 freezes after he showed up, you know. It was like, wait a minute, you know, he's supposed to be in early spring, and here it is colder now than it was before you, you know, came out of your hole there. So I don't really know whether it's supposed to be, you know, early spring or not. But, you know, when you're working outside like that, you just kind of hope it is.
Well, once or twice a month, we get an early spring down here in Florida. So we get a lot of early spring. So I don't think all of us in general really give a hoot about what Mr. Punxsutawney's doing, because we always get rescued some warm weather.
Yeah, like they were showing, you know, we got, I think it's 2 days this week. It's going to be 81 degrees, supposedly. So, you know,
that's rough.
Other days are 76, 78, you know, and you're right here toward the middle of February. That's, you can't beat that.
Was it 85 when we had all that snow and ice here?
That was 89. No,
it was 89 because Jesse was. Yeah.
White Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cold.
Because I can remember when Jesse was small and I took the kids out. We had a slip and slide. And I unrolled that thing, you know, take it up during the wintertime. But I unrolled that thing and took it out there on the street because the street was froze over. and took the kids and put them on the end of that thing, you know, one at a time.
Uh-huh.
And I went running down the street with it and then slung it and watched them slide.
You know those little blue plastic pools?
Yeah.
The rigid ones, the ones that are really heavy that stand up by themselves?
Yeah, you could do that,
the kids
too.
Down the street, where there's a hill down by the Arlington boat ramp, and they were coming down, two and three of them in that pool, coming down that thing.
Oh, yeah.
It was fun to watch them.
Florida sled.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. I still got the pictures. I broke out my pictures the other day. I was going through old pictures and found my yard and my driveway with that dusting of snow from 89. That was was really an event.
Yeah, I tell you, it's so good. It's having the weather like we have here. I would not would not enjoy living up north myself. I have cousins in Tennessee and Virginia and even have some cousins up there in Boston and Massachusetts. And I just don't see myself ever. My brother, I have one of my brothers, I have four brothers and a sister. One of my brothers is 2.5 years older than me, moved up to Virginia probably 25 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't see myself doing that,
Yeah. Well, my pop got me out of Baltimore when I was just born. I was just an infant, and he really caught it from my grandma. And where are you taking that baby in a blinding snowstorm? Exactly. I was like, "Yeah, pop, you go get me out of this blinding snowstorm." Took me to Miami and never looked back.
Yeah, I don't think I would do well up there. Especially in Tennessee, that's just too far from salt water for me.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So, but anyway, it is what it is. And a lot of people, they enjoy that weather, I guess. I mean, it's like Canadians. I mean, how can, you don't get much of a summer in Canada. So, I guess the Canadians, it is summer.
Yeah, one of the duty stations I had in the Navy when I was stationed overseas for 3 years.
Yeah.
People would say, "Well, why'd you want to go there?" And I was like, "Man, I was on a resort island in the middle of the Mediterranean."
Mm-hmm.
And I was assigned for 2 years, and I extended for one. So I got a total of 36 months. But for that extra year, they give you 30 days basket leave, so that automatically knocks a month off it. And gives you 30 days vacation just for extending in this little beautiful Mediterranean paradise. And I was like, you really don't get that.
Yeah, you're asking me why, huh?
Yeah.
It says here, up in New Jersey, in a private lake, this little girl caught, she's 11 years old, caught a 4-pound, 19.5 inches long crappie.
I saw
on
that.
On a bomber.
Huh?
Tip with a minnow.
You probably catch it on a bomber anyway.
That's a huge crappie.
That must be the one I saw. That was a monster. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was huge.
Look at the size of that thing.
Yeah. That is great.
Oh my goodness.
That's great.
This will be the world record.
Are they ice fishing?
Yeah. Well, it was froze over.
Yeah. Well, that's not
beautiful fish.
That's not
too.
For me.
And look how fat he looks, man. It must be a bunch of minnows and whatever for him to eat up in there.
When you got the fiddlers the other day, did you look at them and see how many on average was left or right handed?
Well, no, I didn't ask them.
Did you know there's left and right handed fiddler crabs?
Right.
The big pincher.
The big pincher.
Yeah, the
really?
Big pincher.
Really? It identifies it as a male or a female? Is that one?
No, the females, all males have big pincher, one big pincher.
Yeah.
Okay, that's to fight and to fiddle with. And the females have two little ones. Yeah, have you ever seen fiddlers fiddle? They do fiddle.
I've seen them wave.
That's where they get the name at.
I've seen them wave.
Yeah.
They'll actually do this
with the fiddler.
Oh, yeah.
It's like they're playing a fiddle with the bow. But yeah, and the left hand fiddlers, they're not as apt to fight as the right hand. We'll be back.
Talk radio. Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. With urgency rising in their nomination battle, Democratic presidential frontrunners Bernie Sanders and Pete Buttigieg beat back a barrage of attacks during a debate in New Hampshire last night. The Democrats' top presidential contenders clashed repeatedly over their personal experience and who had the better chance of beating President Trump. Also at last night's debate, former Vice President Biden raised questions about Sanders' status as a Democratic socialist. He warned Democratic voters that the president and his allies would use the socialism label in congressional elections as well as presidential voting. The flu-like virus that originated in China has researchers worldwide scrambling to try and find a vaccine. Just days after Chinese scientists shared the genetic map of the culprit coronavirus, researchers at the National Institutes of Health say they engineered a possible key ingredient for a vaccine. This is SRN News.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Friday, February 14th and Saturday, February 15th at 8 p.m., the Jacksonville Symphony presents a romantic Valentine at the Jacoby Symphony Hall. Saturday, February 15th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach. And Saturday, February 15th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., it's the Riverside Arts Market under the Fuller Warren Bridge on Riverside Avenue.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River, where the weather conditions are perfect for one crop, cotton. My bed sheets are ultra soft, breathable, and extremely durable. They come in a variety of colors, and now for a limited time, when you use your promo code, I'll give you my best offer ever. Buy one set of my Giza Dream Sheets and get another set absolutely free. I guarantee they're going to be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
For limited time, go to MyPillow.com. When you buy a set of Giza Sheets, Mike will give you a set of Giza Sheets for free when you use promo code WBOB or call 800-950-9024 and give them promo code WBOB for this fantastic offer.
Does your basement or crawl space have a damp, musty smell? Well, watch out. That's a sign of too much moisture and not enough ventilation. And that can mean increased mold growth and the buildup of harmful toxins and gases. Don't bother with a dehumidifier. It just circulates the same unhealthy air. Get the Wave Ventilation Unit. It will transform your home into a drier, healthier environment. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 1-888-964-WAVE. That's 1-888-964-WAVE.
It's your morning show host, Ed Dean, along with Roger Henderson. Everybody have a good week, and we'll be ready to go. A little bit of warmer weather, but we're happening Monday morning, 6 to 9 a.m. Talk radio WBOB, the war of the words. Trump, Pelosi, man, he really went after them over the last few days.
Absolutely, and use some colorful language, for lack of better words.
Whether you agree with it or not, Raj, some do, some don't, at least we can admit it's very entertaining. Ed and Raj, Monday morning, 6 to 9 a.m. right here. Talk radio WBOB.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB weather.
It'll be sunny through Monday with highs mid to upper 60s through Sunday, 78 on Monday. Partly cloudy through Monday night, down to about 46 tonight, mid-50s Sunday night, 63 on Monday night. It'll be mostly cloudy Tuesday and Tuesday night, 30% chance of showers, highs of 81, lows of 62.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning, and I'm looking forward now for this. This water temperature seems to be evening out, you know, finally. I know we're going to have some warm weather and all, and I don't think it's going to be warm that much to make this water temperature change a whole lot. But I'm looking forward to the trout fishing picking up, you know, most any time now. you know, because usually in February and March, I mean, y'all remember when we had a closed season here?
Yes.
Like December, January. Yeah. Well, it was December, January, February.
Right.
And then they went only to February.
It was the only time I could keep your trout during the close. When I'd catch any keeper trout was during a close season.
I mean, we got, I was at the mouth of Fort Caroline Road one day. And, I mean, not Fort Caroline Road, mouth of Fort George Inlet right there at the Intercoastal. And we were fishing for whiting. And, of course, it was close season for trout. We were fishing for whiting with dead shrimp on the bottom. And I bet we caught something like 22, 23 speckled trout.
No, and that way it goes.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get this Artie.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, Captain?
Hey,
good morning.
How you doing?
All right. How you been?
All right, sir. How about
you? Go ahead.
I was gonna say, how about you? I recognize your voice now.
Yeah, I just taking it easy. I have a story to tell you. I was gonna wait till I seen you at the seminar.
Yeah.
But I said, well, let me go on the call-in show so everybody can hear this.
All right.
That's great.
You know how we're fishing the rocks on the outside?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm out there with my buddy in his boat. He got a spot lock on his boat. So
yes, sir.
We're sitting out there on the outside of the rocks on the north side. And, you know, that tide is ripping. And the wind's coming out in the north, and it's pulling the water through the rock.
Oh, well, yeah.
So he goes and sets up right where, you know, the water's going through. So I don't really like to fish there because it pulls your line up to the rock, you know.
Yeah.
But anyhow, he sits on his spot lock remote. Remote off, the trolling motor off. We went through the rocks.
Oh, my gosh.
Waved us up and took us all right across up into the river.
Oh, my gosh. Said, all the way over the rocks? Ride.
All the way through.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, you're talking about scary.
Y'all had the motor tilted?
Yeah, y'all were at that low place right out there toward the tip there.
I was in the back fishing, you know, off the stern.
Yeah.
And I hit the rim on his motor and got his motor up. But we bounced, you know, first we bounced. Then the wave picked us up and pushed us off over into the river.
Did it hurt the trolling motor?
Nope. It didn't hurt the boat. Nothing.
Oh, man.
It was amazing.
It was amazing. My goodness.
That was a close call.
It happened so fast, it was like, you talk about puckering up?
Yeah. Yeah. That's
and y'all you know, stopped and bought lotto tickets on the way home, didn't you?
Because let me tell you, it wasn't long ago there was a boat out there on top of the rocks, you know.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you could have wound up like that, so y'all were extremely lucky. You just had to be fishing in that right spot where it took you through there. And, man, let me tell you, I know. You know, and that trolling motor, I don't like the back of my boat toward the rocks just for that reason. Because, you know, out there some of the times, you know, I don't know if it's the Navy or exactly what happens, but every once in a while when you're out there, the trolling motor just shut off, you know.
Right.
And, you know, you lose your GPS, and it might be something that they're doing on the Navy base. I don't know. But that's why I don't like the back of my boat going. I mean, I usually fish the opposite way. I usually fish to where that, you know, if my trolling motor turns off, it's going to be pushing me away from the rocks just for that reason, you know.
Yeah, I see you out there, you know, and usually you're nose in or parallel to them.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was.
That's scary.
It happened so fast, though. You know, it was like, phew. You know, after you get on the other side, it's like, huh? Yeah. You really did that?
Yeah, I know. It's like, how did that happen? So yeah, you must have been right there in that low spot. You know, that's out there right at the tip there, almost.
And a seriously high tide.
But I just don't like where it washes through. You know, the rocks.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like fish right there anyway. But the simple fact that, you know, it's pulling you into the rocks the whole time and something happens, you know.
They just like that.
I've seen guys, you know, snorkel, come out, get out of their boat, snorkel. We had to throw them a life ring one day because he got in that same predicament. He got out of the boat and towards the rocks and it pulled him right through. He was in the river the other way.
Yeah.
Lost his fin and we threw the life ring to him, and his buddy was on the outside with us. By the time he would have got around, that guy would have been way down the river.
Yeah, that's a lot of people don't realize there's holes in those rocks that big. They can suck you right through there like that if you're out there scuba diving or snorkeling or whatever. Because a friend of mine used to do that, and he used to go down there and actually shoot, you know, the sheep's head, which is legal to do. The last 500 feet of a jetty that's over 1,500 feet long, and of course, those jetties are, one of them's 10,000, the other one's 11,000 feet. So it's legal to do that. But myself, I wouldn't want to be down there. I mean, can you imagine if? If you just happen to get your foot caught in some of those anchor ropes, it's got to be down. I mean, it's got to be a million anchors down there, you know?
Yeah, that's for sure.
Imagine getting your foot caught in an anchor rope or something down there and, you know, not being able to get back up. I just, that would scare me to death.
Yeah, plus, you know, the critters that are out there, too.
Yeah, there's critters out there. I don't want to, you know, you're at the bottom of the food chain when you go out in places like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah,
cause, you really are.
I mean, I seen them bull sharks, you know, on the outside.
Oh yeah,
swim by and the rays, the big manta rays.
Yep.
Stuff. There's all kinds of stuff out there.
Well, and all, you know, a lot of people say, okay, you don't have to worry about the sharks being, it's, you know, it's winter time. But the whole thing about it, there's no fences, there's no gates, there's no, you know, they go wherever they want to go, and they're going to go wherever they can find something to eat.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, a lot of times, you know yourself, until when you leave those jetties, there's usually not a lot of fish until you get to a reef somewhere. So, you know what I mean? No structure or whatever. So guess where all the food is in that area? It's right there at the jetties.
Yeah. Well, you know who's here in the wintertime chasing them right whale calves is the big great whites.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I
want to
see one of them.
No, I really hope. You know, people are like, "But it'd be amazing." I really hope I never see one. You know, actually, there was a boat out there. I forget, probably 6-7 years ago, had a stainless steel prop on his boat, and of course, you know how your prop kind of just turns in the current. Yeah. They were fishing, and then they saw this shark come up to the back of the boat, and they claimed he was probably about 12 to 14 feet. And I guess he liked that stainless steel prop spinning, shining in the sun or something other, but he was grabbing hold of that prop, and luckily they all, you know, were sitting down because he started jerking that boat around. Ooh. And, I mean, you're talking some strength there, you know?
Yeah.
I just hope I never see one.
I wonder if that'll buff out.
Well, I would say it's lucky he grabbed the prop and not the fiberglass. You know,
yeah.
It wasn't too long ago I was out there and I caught a big red, and we had to chase him down. It was that big, and being on the light tackle that I'm using for the sheephead, so we chased him down. And we was on the outside jetties, and we finally caught up to that red, and it was probably 30 plus inches at least, And right when I was about to get him to the boat, a bull shark came and just chewed him up.
Oh, yeah.
All I got was head, you know, and I'm like, yeah, okay, there ain't no sharks out here.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. There's no telling where them things are at, and that's why, you know, I see people a lot of times reviving those reds, you know, with their hands down in the water next to the boat, and I'm like, I wouldn't be doing that. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you vent them and you know, like, let them go straight down after you vent them good, you know, they're going to stay down. They'll go swim on back down to the party. I'm not sticking my hands down there because I tell you what, them things can come up
you
from the.
You can't see them.
No, you can't see them. They'll be up there, you know, in the blink of an eye, they're up there grabbing that fish. And if your hands is down there with that fish.
And like a stray cat, once you feed them that big red, you can't get rid of them. They're probably hanging around the boat, too.
Hey, thanks, Artie. Appreciate you calling, man.
Okay, good joke.
Thanks for calling, Artie.
And I'm glad you're still around after that little story, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, that was a good one, Artie.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
All right.
Okay, guys. All right. Have a great day.
Thank you, Neil. And 222-8255. We're going to start talking about, some more fishing, of course, here.
Lee said shark took on the big prop instead of the trolling motor.
Yeah, really. You'd probably just write that off. You know. Anyway, we're going to be talking about some sheephead fishing and stuff here in a few minutes, and so give us a call. We'll be back.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport shrimp, seared tuna, and spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com. Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
Springtail porgies are good to eat, too.
Yeah, those were...
They don't get the respect that they deserve. Let me tell you, you catch a nice ringtail, especially about 2 or 3 pounder, them things will fight.
Yeah, they fight.
They taste good. They taste really good. They're a member of the porgy family, which is what a sheephead is. It's a porgy. And they just don't get their due, you know, their respect. Because, you know, when you get one on, you can tell it's not a sheep's head. He bite like a sheep's head, but... You know, if you catch them on a fiddler, but the way those things do, it's just amazing to me how hard they can fight for it, for that small of a fish. But anyway, let's get David on this morning. Morning, David.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
I wanted to authenticate the shark biting the propeller on the boat.
Yes, sir.
I joined the shark club in '66, and after one of the meetings, they asked if anybody had any fishing stories. And this man stood up and he said, me and my friend and our two sons went out fishing behind the shrimp boats. And they had caught 2 5-foot, 5.5-foot sharks and tied them to the side of the boat after they shot them. So they decided, well, we'll just stop and have a sandwich. So they put out the anchor. And they're sitting there with their, you know, two guys and two sons, and the boat started shaking. And they both jumped up, no other boat around, and this 12-foot hammerhead had smelled the blood and come up and grabbed the propeller and was shaking the boat.
Oh, man.
So So
that'll get your attention.
Finally released the propeller and started swimming around the boat, and there was two hammerheads. They were in the 16-foot boat, and they figured the bigger one was probably 18-foot long.
Man. See, I don't. Yeah, there's no way I'd be snorkeling out there.
You can't stay down, not with two barrels on him. You can't.
Yeah, you never know where they're at out there, and that's the thing. You don't see them until you see them. I know that sounds funny, but you know, it's like we were out there one day. We was catching keeper reds. They were like anywhere from 22 to 28 inches.
Yes.
You know, we'd have to throw, of course, 28 inches back, but we had probably caught about five or six reds out there, and then all of a sudden the bull shark showed up, and he grabbed one of them, you know, of course, took off running. He bit him in half. You know, we pulled him up, and all we had was the head of him. So, you know, next time I dropped down, I'm like, man, we just need one more to have, you know, y'all's limit. We, you know, wanted the guys to have their, you know, it was three guys, wanted them to have their six fish. And I said, we need one more. I said, let me try this. Let me lock down my drag, drop down and get this red, and I'll pull him on up and just throw him in the boat, you know, if he's 22, 24 inches or whatever. And I'll just throw him in the boat, you know, real quick. And so I hook one. I'm reeling him up real fast, you know, and I get him to the top of the water and start raising him out of the water. And this bull shark come out of the water, grabbed that fish, of course, pulled my pole down to the side of the boat, but he landed on the gunwale, the head of that shark landed on the gunwale of that boat, hit the water, splashed, and soaked me and the guy that was sitting next to me. And I said, it's time to go.
Yeah, no lie.
It's time to go.
We gone.
That thing grabbed that red and took off, and I mean just snapped my line like it was nothing. And I said, no, that thing almost came in the boat with us. We're not doing another one.
You're going to go back and get a bigger boat,
we'll,
right?
We'll go in the creek, get our other keeper red, you know, so... But that was really scary.
I just remember the man's name who told that story was Everett Dukes. That was a man, him and his buddy in the boat fishing.
Man. Well, I sure appreciate that, man. That's when you hear about stuff like that, it kind of makes your skin crawl because, I mean, like I say, you're at the bottom of the food chain when you're out there.
That's right.
And I'll raise your hackles.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it.
Now it's not hearsay. It is an authenticated story.
There you go. I appreciate that. Yeah, I heard about that, you know, years ago. I was like, oh, man. I mean, just to think about something like that, grabbing and shaking the boat like that. It's a good thing you're sitting down because some of them things are pretty big out there, you know. Especially if you're in, like you say, a 16-foot boat. That's nothing. But, all right. Appreciate it, David. We got some others here, and we'll try to catch hold.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate you tuning us in.
Thanks, David.
Have a blessed day.
Morning, Thomas.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
How you doing this
morning?
How y'all
doing today?
All right.
Good, Thomas.
Yeah, sheephead question.
Uh-huh.
When I fish the jetties, I got a small 16-foot boat. Uh-huh. Now, which one? What's the optimal? What's the optimal tide? Is it ebb tide, dead low tide, or incoming tide, or outgoing tide, or sheephead if I'm fishing on the outside of the rock?
Well, the outside of the rocks, it really doesn't matter. Okay, if you're fishing on outside of the rocks because you're not in current or anything. Now, I like fishing on the inside of the rocks. It's just the way the rocks fall. I like a little bit of current. I don't want to try to fish it on that screaming outgoing tide. What my favorite tide is out there, even if I fish inside or outside, but my favorite tide is when you see it says, like in the paper or whatever, it says low tide at like 8 o'clock, then I would like to be out there about 9:30, about an hour and a half after low tide, and fish that entire incoming tide all the way to full, all the way to high.
And then
when it turns around, you got about another hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours, depending on the wind, before that tide starts really screaming out again.
Okay. Now, what's your preference for rigs? Is it just a jig head or a Carolina rig?
I use a jig head. I have people who fish with me likes the Carolina rig, so, you know, the fish finder rig. So, You know, I mean, this, it depends on how people want to fish as to how I'd rig them up. But I much rather use a jig head because you don't lose as much tackle. It's easier to get it. It's easier to get it out of the rocks. If you don't pull it real hard, you can flip it out, and then you just pull it up, put another fiddler on, and you're fishing instead of you retying everything. You know.
Now, if I try to chum, I have a small chum cage. It's like a cylinder. It's not that. It's only about maybe about 12 inches tall, and then it's round.
Yes. Yeah, chum and, chopper.
If I put chum in there. And drop it. Do you drop it all the way to the bottom and let it sit, or are you just halfway in the water column? How do you do that?
I would drop it all the way to the bottom.
Okay.
Yeah, because those fish are feeding on the rocks. And so what you want is you want to put probably some crabs in there. If you if you put oysters in there, be sure you keep your receipt showing that you bought oysters. You got to keep that on the boat. Same thing with clams. If you, you know, but either one, oysters or clams, you got to have your receipt with you. And, but anyway, if you put those in there and drop it down to the bottom and you feel it hit the rock, those fish, you know, if you've got it just like halfway down, you may not, chum fish up except for to the next one or two boats behind you. Because by the time that chum reaches the bottom in current, now if you're on the outside of the rocks, it's not going to matter as much because you don't have hardly any current. And so that chum will get around your boat. But if you're on the inside of the rocks and, you know, you'll have current. That's one of the reasons I like inside of the rocks too, is because when you're sitting there sheephead fishing and the sheephead are crushing those fiddlers, the scent from those fiddlers are going right down those rocks. Whereas if you're on the outside, when they're crushing, the scent just stays right there.
Yeah, okay. Thomas, I thought you were talking about the type of chum thing that's attached to your boat. You're talking about the one you can lower down, right?
On a rope. Yeah.
Yeah, and keep that leader short. If you're going to do that Carolina rig, just keep your leader kind of on the short side.
Yeah,
short,
you don't
about 8 inches.
Six to eight at the most, because you know, if you got too much leader and that sheep's head's chewing on your fiddler, you don't want a lot of slack line between that and your weight.
Okay, now when my barrel weight hits the rocks, what I do, pull it up a little bit?
You can. Some people do that. I like to have that bait sitting still, and then what I'll do is I'll raise it up slow and set it back down slow sometimes, because you know, when you drop that bait down, sometimes it'll wind up down in between rocks and all. It'll go right down a gap, and of course fish can't get to it. So you never know where it's sitting down there. So about once a minute or so, I'll ease it up about 18 inches or so and set it back down on the bottom, and just to make sure they can see it. You know.
Okay. All right, Captain. I heard the music. I appreciate you guys. I set my alarm clock every Saturday morning for 5:45.
Oh, awesome.
Well, yeah. I appreciate that, Thomas. I appreciate
thanks for
you
calling, Thomas.
Thanks for calling. Yeah.
All right, have a great weekend.
Enjoy talking to you, bro.
Good luck to you out there.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Rob, sorry we didn't get you on here, but we'll call back next week. We'll get you on here. And appreciate it. We'll be back next week.